Stand up and give God the glory. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful second Sunday in July. I am so glad to be here. Let the church say amen, amen. And amen again. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is just this. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and all of us should respond and say, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And this is our call to worship. Amen. Let us pray. A lot of worshipers in. Come on in. Good morning. It's all right. Take your time. Let us pray. Almighty and faithful God, the God of many years, God of weary tears, the God that looked after us all last night while we slumber and slept through torrents of rain and the majesty of your thunder as you lullabied us all night long. Lord, this morning we just want to say thank you. Amen. We're thankful for the clothes on our back. Yes. Thankful for the food, if we did eat this morning, that we put in our mouths. Amen. To sustain these weak and weary bodies. Thankful that you touched us with your fingertip of love and got us up this morning. Thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that we had sense in our minds to make it to the house of prayer one more time. So, Lord, while we're here, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you once again, thank you. For you are God and you are God all along. And, Lord, for this hour of worship, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would come here and abide with us. Praying, dear Heavenly Father, for all of our brothers and sisters that are here present with us and those that are at home, dear Heavenly Father. Look after us all as a church family. Look after this sin-sick world, dear Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Continue to use us as a light, a beacon, and as salt for weary and worn out people that come to hear a word from you. Lord, bless these prayers, the song, the word, dear Heavenly Father, and all of our praise this morning. Continue to keep us and keep this place, First Church, dear Heavenly Father, as a home for the weary and a home for the sin sick. For we ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and we all say, amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. This is a day that the Lord has made. Aren't you glad that you're in it? And we heard our pastor open up with it this morning, but it is a beautiful day inside and out. It's my privilege this morning to simply say, welcome. Today is a very special day in the life and the history of this church. We are excited to have a new pastor. What a difference a year makes. Pastor Spencer, yes. Welcome. I know it sounds good. Let me say it again. Pastor Spencer, welcome. It's also a privilege and a pleasure to welcome the First Family. I know that they are on their way, but I have the privilege this morning of sitting next to the First Mother. So Mother Betty Edwards, would you stand up this morning so the church can see you? You birthed this pastor, and we need to know and see the reason why he's here. We thank you so much. His family is on the way. They should walk in shortly, and then he will introduce them to us again as we have been introduced to them. Pastor, I bring you greetings this morning from the Southeast Conference of the United Church of Christ. Our conference minister actually planned to come back today and be with us, but that was a funeral that she had to attend. She asked me to let you know that she will be here very soon to share the pulpit with you and to welcome you. But indeed, you're welcome from the conference. I know that we have visitors this morning because when I sent it out, I said, bring somebody with you. This is a shout out. If you're visiting with us, don't be shy about it this morning. I want you to go ahead and stand. I have one of my very dear friends with me visiting this morning. We've been friends for more than 50 years. So, Virginia, I want you to stand. And I'm asking, I know you don't want to stand, but stand up anyway. And I'm asking if there might be others visiting with us this morning. Do we have any other visitors with this morning? I'm going to say this to the church this morning, and Jenny, you might want to say something, but when you hang out with your best friend all night, your best friend has to come to church with you the next morning. And so we had a wonderful evening for my birthday celebration. Jenny, you want to say something to the church? Amen. Thank you. Immediately following service today, church members, as well as friends of the church. If you have not joined, it's okay, because you're going to join. We're going to go back in the fellowship hall. I want to share with you what we're going to do. We're going to have a meet and greet. Pastor asked for a meet and greet with us. It is not going to be long at all. You will find something to drink, and there is a snack for you in the fellowship hall. No, we're not having chicken and dressing and dinner today. So as we meet and greet the pastor, you will get a refreshment. You'll get in your seats, and he's going to speak to us. It will not be long, I promise you, but it will be very enlightening. So don't leave church. Don't even fellowship in here. I want you to go straight to the fellowship hall so that we can get started. We're doing an appeal for our brick pavers. I want to talk about this for just a moment. We're getting ready for the 150th anniversary for this church, and it is going to be gala. It's going to be gala. But we need your help. We've ordered all the T-shirts. We're getting ready to now sell tickets for our luncheon, but it's the brick pavers that we're concerned about, and I need to tell you why quickly. Quickly. The brick pavers must be in by the end of this month, all the orders. And it's just not you paying the $50 for the brick and deciding what you want to put on it, which is not really correct, and we have to go back and do that and help you out with that a little bit. So this is what we want you to do. Go ahead and tell us that you're going to get the brick. Go ahead and put on what you want to put on the brick. We cannot wait till the 31st. And I'm going to say this morning. This is my appeal, not Valora Ford's, not Leon Fornes. We need 300 bricks to make this project come to fruition. We're not there yet. So I want you to call your mama, your auntie, everybody, anybody that's been to church with us, and ask them if they would consider buying a brick paver. And we really need to do it this week. We do. If you'll look in your bulletins, all of the birthdays and our anniversaries are listed there. So we want to remember everybody who's having a birthday this month and anniversaries. July is a big month, so we've got a lot listed. So please, please take a look at that. And Jack Baby Wrencher, where are you? I want you to stand up for us this morning because you're rocking that cast. Stand up this morning and wave at us. We're glad that God took care of you. You got your cast on and you're with us, and we praise God for you being with us today. Thank you for standing. Thank you. And before I'm seated, I'd like to leave you all with the thought for the week. And I want all of you to hear because we're getting ready to do some magnificent, awesome, audacious things in this church with a new pastor. As we prepare to move forward with God's work, church, I want you to ask yourself, what can I do to make this world a better place? But while you're dealing with the world, that's fine. I want you to ask your church, what is it that I can do for this church that I have not done? What board can I get on? What task force can I get on? How can I get to sing in the choir? How can I do the responsive reading? How can I just show up and do something? Because it's time now to do something. Time doing nothing is over. Have a wonderful week.
Kept me.
Hallelujah.
turn around and look. He's sure been blessing me. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. I can tell the world. But I've got a place to sleep.
Hallelujah.
May not have a lot of money,
hallelujah,
but thank God I've got food to eat.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank him for how he kept me.
Hallelujah.
Thank him he never left me. I can tell the world.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen again.
Amen.
So first off, I need to do what the moderator said. For those that have not met my wife, the Bible says the man that findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. And the most important part is what I like, and he obtaineth favor. Favored man since I met her. I was a Birmingham police officer in West Precinct riding with Barry D. That's how I paid my way through seminary. I was a Birmingham. That's right, West Side. I grew up on the West Side. And I was off my beat with Barry D. Barry's a troublemaker. God bless him. I love him to death. But he said, man, let me go over here and meet some of my classmates. I was like, okay. So I was in seminary. I was praying for a wife. And this beautiful, curvaceous lady walked out the back. Lord have mercy. And there she is. April, wave your hand. And excuse her tardiness. We got William, who is our 16-year-old. He's the last one in the house, last of the Mohicans, her sugar bear. So he is a champion swimmer, for those that don't know that I haven't mentioned that too. And he's a lifeguard, newly certified lifeguard. So he's been working the last 5 or 6 days. Lifeguard, and he got a little bit of tan out there in the heat working for the city of Birmingham at Memorial Park on 6th Avenue South. So we got a busy household. My wife is an entrepreneur. She owns a hair salon. She works for Children's Hospital full-time, and then she manages all our grandbabies and children because we got 3 grown ones that are not in our house, praise Jesus, because they eat too much. So yeah, once again, I'm very, very happy to be here. I'm thankful for you all's moving and aligning with the will of God for me to be here. I believe in assignments. At the Pentagon, they have an assignments officer, and at Fort Knox is where the majority of the assignment officers are. So in God's celestial assignment office, he decided to stick me here. Whether you voted for me or not, the Lord's will be done. And so with that being said, I mean, you have to believe in God's will when it comes to assigning pastors. So with that being said, this is my first sermon here. Hopefully you allow me some grace. Let me talk about preaching for a minute so you all can understand something. I am not a street-trained preacher. I'm a seminary-trained preacher. A lot of street-trained preachers fuss at seminary. They're like, well, he went to the cemetery. And we hear those jokes all the time. I grew up under a lot of street-trained preachers, and I'm very familiar with all of the antics that you need. Me personally, I think singing and hooping is a crutch because that allows me not to have to spend some time. I don't have an office. I have a study like English pastors do, and I try to immerse myself in this word. So I'm not the traditional African-American preacher. So I got to get to know you and what your ear likes and as you get to know me. So we've got to have some time together. My preaching professor says, Dr. Robert Smith, PhD, Dr. Smith says that the problem with the black church is we need a homiletical enema to run some of this mess we got out of our system. All right. All right. And so our churches, I mean, look at what's going on right now, the question about tithe. Y'all been following that? Dr. Dollar, Creflo Dollar, just recently came back and changed everything that he's been saying about tithe. But he didn't go to a cemetery. See? There's a reason why some of us we all need to be classically trained. And so that's why I chose to be classically trained. Your pastor is getting ready to enroll in a doc. Let me back. I've been enrolled in a doctoral program. I should have been done with it, but war throughout my entire career has kept me deployed, moving places and whatever else, but I'm re-enrolling in the fall, which I've already been accepted to do a doctorate of ministry. So I was going to be a real doctor, not a Cracker Jack box doctor. So I do that to help you all. It's not for me. I said when I went to seminary years ago, I didn't know how I was going to pay to go to Samford. But I was able to make my way through it. And when I made my way through it, I did it because I wanted to honor God and God's people, not for me and for titles for myself. So as I give you some of my intellectualism, as it's sprinkled with the Holy Spirit this morning, I want you all to work with me and pray with me and listen. You want to say amen, you say amen, but I want you all to really get to know me and listen to the things that I have to say, because I spend time throughout the week crafting these words for you all. So what was I thinking? So I said to myself, I said, Lord, I got to go to First Church, and this is going to be my first time there. What am I going to preach about? What am I going to preach about? And as I'm going throughout the day, and as I'm reading, and I'm meditating, and as I talk to myself, because I know my wife sometimes thinks I'm crazy, she'll come in the bedroom or in another room, and she'll see a TV on, and I got a YouTube sermon on, or I'm watching some podcast or something in reference to the Bible, or I'm reading, or I got tons of books out in front of me, or whatever else. God spoke to me. He said, talk about a great way to start a week. And I said, yeah. So the nerd in me, most people look at my size and think I'm an athlete. I can't play nothing but a deer hunting rifle. That's it. I struggled in the military when it came to physical fitness stuff, but I got better with time going on. But I love the Word of God, and when I began to study and reach into my books and on my computer, and I said, okay, how did the Jews worship God in the beginning of the week? And so that led me to prayer, which we're about to do right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for your word and for your children and for the pastorate and for the people, we are thankful. Lord God, I believe that you've sent me here for your divine purpose to help these, your people. Now, dear Heavenly Father, hide me behind the shadow of your cross that I might be able to preach your word. For it is in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week, we're going to start for the rest of the month a series talking about a great way to start your week. And the text for selection for sermonic spotlight is the 92nd number of Psalms. And I would ask that you find it and stand. Find the 92nd number of Psalms. It's in the Psalter. I'm going to use big words because Christians should learn things. Psalter, P-S-A-L-T-E-R. That is the entire book of Psalms. Sometimes it's referred to as a Psalter. The Psalms are songs. They're used in the liturgy, which means the process of worship in Hebrew and Jerusalem in Jewish worship. So when you find Psalm 92, I would ask that if you can, please stand when you find Psalm 92. I'm going to read it to you all in its entirety, and I'll let you know when you may be seated. Psalm 92, and if you can, please stand. Please stand. Psalm 92 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see the desire of mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Our text that we're going to highlight today in preaching and teaching is verse 8. Let's read that together. And I'm reading out of the King James Version, and it says, "But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore." You may be seated in the presence of God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Our series for the next three Sundays throughout the remaining of the month of July is a great way to start your week. A great way to start your week. But we're going to tag this text, focus on God. Focus on God. The world today is at a point of de-exaltation of God. The world today is focused on the de-exaltation of God. It is at a point now where we're attempting to, as we know here in Christ's world, in the believing world, you cannot do it. But they're doing everything they can to unseat God off of the throne, as though we have the ability to vote him in, as though we have the ability to move him off of the throne or to force him to vacate the throne. And we're allowing everything to go on and get by. Colin Powell, about a decade before he passed, he said, "We are a shameless society." In our society today, we've gotten to the point where everything goes by that gets by and everything is okay. I grew up missionary Baptist. A young lady back in the day got pregnant out of wedlock. What did we do? They'd march up to the front of the church and they made her apologize. Now, I don't think that it was right. They should have drugged that boy up there by his ear too. But at the same time, now we go along with everything. And I'm just not picking on anybody, but we gotten to the point now. We know in the 70s and even the early 80s and years prior to that, baby showers for 14-year-olds. Everything that goes on is okay. The language that we hear first thing in the morning on the radio. I love my frat brother Rick, but Rick, now come on. Slow down first thing in the morning. You know, I'm just citing specific examples in specific places. The church. The church has gotten to the point now where everything that goes on is okay. The central focus of the Christian church is Christ. And the only thing that we know of Christ is his word and his actions that are contained in his word. And that is the Bible. We've gotten to the point now where we just go along and we get along. We've gotten to the point where we say amen to anything. People in church now running around, folks slapping oil on them and flipping their jackets at them, folks cutting flips, and there's no productivity in the church. I know of several large churches in Atlanta. I've been stationed in Atlanta twice, and there are hookers and prostitutes and crackheads and drunkards and all sorts of people in front of those churches, out in front of those churches. And the people will leave the church, walk right by those folks, and just keep going. Like, what's going on? It's the de-exaltation of Christ. Because a church that does not do the work of Christ, that just shows up, is a social and savings club. And I bet not ever hear about anybody in First Church not saying a good word to somebody and telling them about the love of God. I keep a bag. I ain't going to say what's on the bag, but I keep a bag in my console in my truck, and I keep that thing full of change. And oftentimes, I've been so moved, and it'll be a lot of change in it sometime. Every time I go to a fast food restaurant, grab the change, put in there, whatever else. Sometimes I give it to my son or one of the grandbabies. But there was a gentleman, he was in a dumpster one night. He was digging for food out by the fish market. We were together. You were a little boy, more little than what you are now. And I reached and I grabbed the bag and I gave it to him. The first thing came out of this man's mouth was, "This is the nicest thing anybody has ever done for me." And we standing right by a church. He said the folks come out the church and they won't even talk to me. It's a shameless society. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Not because it was done in this church, but because we're in the same clique of the ones that name the name of the Lord. We're shameless in our homes. Fathers in the African-American homes are no longer in the homes. They need to be in the house. They need to be able to be fathers in the house. I saw this horrible thing on Facebook where one of the fathers of this lady who had four children shows up to the house, and he brings the McDonald's, and she's mad because he didn't bring McDonald's for the other three children. But what you're doing is you're penalizing the man that will do for the other men that don't do. And we've gotten to the point in society where everything that goes on goes by. Rap music these days, it's fine. You'll never hear Christian rap on the radio. How many times have you heard Christian rap on the radio? How many of you in here 18 years and younger knew that was Christian rap? Y'all don't know. But you know about YSL Youngboy and NBA Youngboy and Gunna. I know. I listen to him. But Gunna is doing what right now? He's on a RICO charge in Atlanta. Right, young man? Uh-huh. You know that, right? But you didn't know that was gospel rap. We'll talk about it when I leave here today, when I get out of the pulpit. So we've gotten to the point in society where everything that goes on and goes by is okay. In this psalm that we have is the what I think is part of a solution for part of the problem that we're having in our society today, Mr. Guitarist. Some of the solution that we have is the fact that our church is no longer focused. Our church no longer has a focal point in the household of faith, because we've gotten away from this book. And this book and what's contained in this book is what is central to us. In the 92nd number of Psalms, we see a psalm. Every psalm is a psalm. The sweet song or the sweet singer of Israel, known as King David, wrote a lot of these, and he penned out a lot of these, and he would sing them, and we would play his harp, the same harp or lyre that he used to keep Saul cool when he was hot on his heels. And he would sing these songs. And the way that these Hebrew poems are structured, oftentimes they're chiastic in structure. I'm going to explain that. Chiastic means like an X. So it'll start out heavy like a pyramid, working down to a focal point and then spreading out to the end. We have 15 verses. Seven verses in a chiastic structure. The eighth verse, which is the center verse. That's why I started with this verse first, to give you what's more important. We're taught in writing bottom line up front. And the bottom line up front is the eighth verse. It's the focal verse. It is what David is saying in this psalm, is to focus on God. And so the Hebrews at the beginning of the week, when the Levites, the Levitical priests, would show up to the temple first thing early in the morning with all of their garments on, and they were attending to the high priest. The high priest would get a brand new, fresh, young lamb, male, without spot or blemish. He'd bring it up to the altar, and he'd slit that lamb's throat, and the blood from that lamb would be sprinkled on the horns on the outside of that altar. Once that was done and all of the entrails were removed out of him, and they took the rest of the lamb and put it on the offering, the burnt offering there, and added frankincense to it to give it a sweet-smelling savor to go up to God. After that happened, the next thing that happened first thing in the morning, they took a drink offering, and they would drink. All the priests would drink, and they would begin to sing this song. The importance that I'm trying to show you here within this text is the fact that this song was sung right after a sacrifice. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the sacrifice has already been made. The importance is that we got to sing the song. And the song that we've got to sing within our hearts, within our minds, within our souls, within our spirits every day to start out our day is the fact that Jesus died and I've got to focus on God. And now that I'm going to focus on God, I'm going to carry out and start my week every week by focusing on God, because it is important for me to have this focus. It's important for me as a father, my brother Doug, in order to, in my household, to tell everybody to focus on God. William, it is important for you when you get up in the morning before you walk out of the house, because if your great-grandmama was alive, she'd tell you to keep a prayer on your lips. Because it's important, young folk, for you to understand that if you want to be successful in life, in anything that you do, you better keep God first in your life, not being NBA young boy or any of that other foolishness. And if you're old in here right now, seasoned in age, you better be able to wave your hand right now and be able to point out to somebody saying the preacher's right, because he's telling you the right thing, that you ought to keep a focus on God. We sing the song, God of our many years, God of our weary tears, in our Negro national anthem. But now we've forgotten about that. Why? Because we got good jobs. Us has got good credit now. Eyes retired. And none of those other things mean anything to us anymore. Yes, COVID has ravaged our community. COVID has ravaged our nation. But it's time to come back to the church. If you can wear a mask to a shopping mall, lady, you could show up to the house of the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. My brothers, if you could wear a mask to wherever you're going, to the frat house, because I'd see y'all in there without your mask on. But if you can go to the frat house, if you can go to the club, if you can go to the cigar shop with the mask on or with the mask off, you can come back to Jesus' house, because it's time to return and give a focus on God. And our text today, I won't keep you long because we got a series, and then I'll be able to deal with the other verses. First seven verses, and next week, and then the last week, we'll deal with verses 9 through 15. But today, the question begs in our mind, why should I focus on God? I've forgotten about him. And if you have forgotten about him, I want you to be able to go out this week when you leave here to be able to tell all of your friends why you should focus on God. The text says it right here, but, verse 8, first word, but, comma, but, that's the most important thing that you could tell anybody about God right now, in contrary to everything that is going on in your life, but COVID, but my hair, but my car wouldn't start, but my bills, but this cancer, but the preacher preached too long. But this, but that, but God. We should have a but God theology. Whenever there's anything in your life, my brothers and sisters, when you're getting ready to start your week, if you're going to focus on God, you should have a song slipping off your lips to be able to say, but God. And if you have a but God mentality, you'll be able to move throughout your entire life. I saw my grandmama for over 40 years of my life walk to a bus stop on severely varicose veins and legs that were infirm. I saw her. You know why she was able to do it? Because she had a but God faith. I know a boy that used to ride a school bus, young folks, from A&M. He could ride the Greyhound bus from A&M all the way back home. Didn't have a car. But you have to have an understanding that you have to have a but God faith. When you have a but God faith, you are able to move mountains. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says that you have to have the faith of a mustard seed. When you've got the faith of a mustard seed, you have a but God mentality in your life. And I ought to be able to see somebody in here right now who is able to either go to Alabama State, Alabama A&M, who goes to a job they don't like it every day, and be able to wave their hands in the air right now and be able to know and testify to the fact that if I've got a but God faith, I can do anything that I can. The text says, amen, thank you. But God, Holy Ghost help me. But God. But God, that should be everything that should lift up off your lips. In contrary, everything on this world tries to stand in contrary to God. Listening to a preacher preach one time, Dr. James Earl Massey, some of you may have heard that name. He, at one time, was the dean of the chapel at Tuskegee. At one particular time in his life, he was in a car, because he was in Jamaica and he was driving to chapel. He was there on assignment to preach, but still at the same time, he was teaching at the local seminary in Jamaica. And he was caught in traffic thinking that he was going to be late to church. And He asked the police officer that was close by. He said, well, what's going on? He said, oh, it's about to clear up. There was an accident down the road, and a man lost his life. He started praying. The accident clears up. He stopped praying, and he moved down the road, and he saw this very large tree, stern, sturdy. He said this was the 60s. He said it was an older car. He said that car was wrapped around that tree, and the gentleman had lost his life in it. And he got to thinking. He said, wow. He said, that tree is like a butt. He said, and it's our will hitting against that tree. When our will wraps around the will of God, we get broken. But when our will goes in line with the will of God, we're successful. If you want to be successful, have a but God mentality. Continue on here in this text. We see that thou, Lord. Look at the acknowledgement in that text. We've moved away from the contrariness of the world. But once you move out of the contrariness of the world, you need to get an understanding to acknowledge who God is in your life. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. That acknowledgement of a living Savior is what we all need. And goes totally against the idea and the ideologies of what the world has for us. The acknowledgement of the fact that there is a living Savior. The acknowledgement of the fact that God is working in my life. The acknowledgement of the fact that I'm here today receiving a word to be able to move on and to be able to deal with my week and to go on and to be able to survive. The acknowledgement of the fact that these pews are not full, but if I align with the pastor in the will of God, these pews will eventually be filled because I'm going to acknowledge and orate out of my mouth that I have a pastor that loves me and you should come to church with me. That's the word that we give at the beginning of the week when we begin to sing out loud this song. When you say, but God, thou Lord, you're standing in stark difference with everything the world wants you to believe. Yes, my brothers and sisters, take your pills for your high blood pressure. Take your pills or your injection for your diabetes. Take your pill for your PTSD. Take your pill for whatever you struggle with, but always acknowledge the fact that the Lord is the one that gives the doctors the ability, the one that sits in the sick room who gives you that pill. We have to acknowledge the presence of God in our lives. Acknowledge the presence of God in your life wherever you go. It's okay to be in the grocery store and somebody walk up to you, how you doing today? I'm blessed. Yes, I go to First Church. You should come worship with us sometime. Blah, 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 blah. That's what good Christian folk do. That's how we're going to grow this church. That's how we're going to be church. When you see one of the brothers and sisters in the church and you pass them in the street, you should be able to look at them in their face and have a discussion with them and tell them how great God is. How you doing? I'm going to pray for you when you get home. Give me your phone number. I ain't got your phone number. I want to acknowledge the fact that there's a God in my life, and I know there's a God in your life. And you should be able to do that at work, home, business, or the school that you go to. Help one another out. And to focus on God, we have got to get to the point that we acknowledge God in every area and facet of our lives. How many of you all want to have a greater relationship with God in here? I should see every hand up. How many of you all were in Sunday school? That's the difference. I'm not picking. I'm helping. We have to acknowledge God in every area of our life. If you watch the football game, hallelujah, we so thankful Alabama beat Auburn. If you watch the other football games, hallelujah, Alabama A&M is dragging Alabama State up and down that field. We have got to get, stop, I got the mic. We got to get to the point. We got to get to the point. Hey. Stop now. We have got to get to the point. I see y'all paying attention. We've got to get to the point where we acknowledge God everywhere. I acknowledge my God at the frat house. I acknowledge my God all the way out to the outhouse. Acknowledge him here. I do. In my house, oftentimes, I've got a Bible verse sitting right in front of the throne so I could focus and meditate. You should have times and periods whenever you're alone to keep your mind off of anything crazy to focus and meditate. I have a little bitty small prayer book that I put on top of my phone. Sister April will tell you, the first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I flip through that book before I look at the Facebook. You have to acknowledge the presence of God in your life. It is important. And we've gotten away from that. Why? Because of the world and the way that the world stands. Then, lastly, as I go to my close and I'll sit down, the most important thing here is that we stand in contrary to what the world teaches us. We acknowledge God. But what the text says right here, it says Most High. Most High. Most High. That's a definitive thing. We define ourselves in who God is. When God revealed himself to Moses in front of the burning bush, he asked him, he said, "Who shall I send, say, sent me?" God responded back from out of the burning bush, "Tell them that I am sent you." This was the very first time that is recorded in the history of the Bible account. And if you read the story, I believe it's in the third chapter of Exodus. In the Bible account, that God revealed himself by name to his people. And God has constantly revealed himself throughout time to his people. Here in this text, we see that God reveals himself as El Elyon, the Most High. In Hebrew, it would be in a, I got an English teacher out there, it'll be in the superlative tense. This superlative tense, this means that he's the mostest, istest of ever will be istest. I got to use bad English because you don't want to hear the Hebrew because I'd hawk and cough and everything else to say it. But the El Elyon is the Most High. And when you got a Most High and it's definitive that no one can remove him from off the throne, what are you in life? My brothers and sisters, when you do that, you can put on your dress or your skirt. You can zip up your jeans. You can put on your bulletproof vest. You can put on that mask or keep it off, but you will have one thing. And that is in strike contrariness to the world that you've acknowledged the fact that there is a God. I got confidence. I've got a confidence within me that I'll be able to go throughout my day and be able to conquer anything that stands against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And that's what we need within our community. Our community is in such a horrible condition. And we've gotten to the place where everything is standing against us, but when you acknowledge who your Lord is, you're able to walk out in your community in a type of confidence and a swagger that you got and be able to face anything that stands against you. It's all because God has revealed himself. Some people call him Jehovah Jireh, and some people call him Jehovah Nisi. I like to call him Jesus, for he came down through 40 and two generations. Stopped off in a cattle stall with nothing to keep him warm but a cow's breath in that manger. That was his incubator. He rose up like a natural man. He walked the dusty plains of Palestine. He healed the sick. He raised the dead, gave the blind their sight. The lame were able to stand up and walk. And they were able one day when he laid down his life on Calvary's cross, they raised him up and he said, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. After he said seven last sayings, he hung his head in the lock of his shoulder and he died. The old preacher would say he died till he couldn't die no more. But when they put him in Joseph of Arimathea's newly hewn out tomb, 3 days later, he rose up with all power in his hands. And my brothers and my sisters, it is that same exact power that 40 days later, when he made the promise that he would send another comforter, his Holy Spirit, That same spirit is what drives our church today. And if you believe in this, like I believe, if you've been baptized, if you've been born again, if you have the fire burning within you from the Holy Spirit, you should believe like I believe and want to make a change here in First Church, and not just a change here within the confines of this building, because the ecclesia, which is the Greek for the church, is us. And we all are the ones that make the change. We all are the ones that make a change within the church to grow the church as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. My brothers and sisters, if you believe like I believe, that we have a world that stands contrary to the will of God, that we have a world that needs to know and acknowledge God, we have the confidence that we need to be able to go out every day. You're a believer. But if this is your first time ever hearing this, this is your first time ever hearing this message, and you believe that, you just become a believer. And if you're that person, I would like for you to walk down this aisle, for the doors of the church are open. Man, woman, boy, or girl, the doors of the church are open. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the doors of the church are open. Will you come? You can come by candidate for baptism, as I just said, as a new believer, by letter, if you're coming from a different church and you would like to make this your church home. The doors of the church are open. Well, if you're looking for a place just to fellowship, you could be here under watch care. You might be a student from Alabama State or any of the local colleges, and you want to just have a church home and somebody to look over you and shepherd over you. We'd be glad to have you. The doors of the church are open. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just as you are. He'll save you. He'll save you just as you are. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Again, I'm so glad to be here. After the benediction, the acolyte will come down and extinguish the flame here and carry it out. We'll pause for a short time, meditation during that, and then we will make our way to the fellowship hall. See the acolyte. Let us stand for the benediction. Shepherd has received a word from you, and I would just ask that through the breath of the Holy Spirit that word give life to every believer and unbeliever that hears it. Dear Lord, we ask that as we stand out into a world and start our week, before we go to bed tonight and when we get up in the morning, let the words of our mouths say, Lord, but God, you are the one. And I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. Help me, dear Lord, to be confident in anything I might confront in the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for pastorate and people. Now dismiss us from this place, but never from your holy presence. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with his children now, henceforth, and forevermore. And we all say, amen.